Thank you, Chuck, and it's a pleasure to be with you here this morning. They mentioned there'd be some water, so I'm going to grab one. I didn't realize that Mark was going to actually use that slide. That's usually what I feel like going to work each morning, so at least I realize that he understands it. This is being done in about 20 minutes. It's about the same chance as the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series, so I hope you don't have too far to go and in any too much of a hurry. But if we could start... it's before the dawn, and I hope this works great. And that's kind of the situation we have today in the United States in the cotton business. We've got a lot of problems we've got to work through. Cotton is in a period of contraction. We're having problems around the world and a lot of things, and most of it centers on consumption. We're going to spend a lot of time talking about consumption and a lot of time talking about China. And a little bit like it is in Washington, it's not real clear. Today we see... we got recessions in Europe, we got problems in demand in the United States and Japan, we got a shortage of grain and oil seeds, and as it says, dark before the dawn. Here is a very telling situation of what's going on in the cotton business today. This is world demand, this is consumption. And one of the most important things to see on this is you see the red line is China, the blue line is the world. From 1999 through 2008, we had a very large increase in world consumption. The important thing is if you follow the law, all China-driven. The entire world's increased consumption can be explained and followed by the side of China. Today, we have the exact reverse that's starting to take place. We've had all kinds of problems. We've had the financial crisis that was there. We had the recession. We had high prices. But today... if you look, is the world where we topped out at about 123 million bales. Today we're about 106 million bales. That's about 17 million bales a year of consumption that's no longer taking place. And the reduction is all inside of China. And part of the problems is this market distorting policy that has taken place inside of China. We get a lot of flack, as you know. Mark just talked about the problems we have with the WTO and in Brazil. If you think we have a market distorting policy, you should see what some of the other policies are around the globe. So let's talk about one of them. China decided to support its farmers at a level at over twice the cost of production. Today, the reserve price in China is $1.25 a pound. That's what they get. And yet there isn't much problem with that with the WTO, right? They have problems with our export policies. This leaves, though, a problem. You may think that's the greatest thing in the world for the producer, and it is, but it's hurting you. Not only is it hurting you because it's promoting additional production inside of China, but it's hurting you because the price of cotton is so high inside China that they've decided to spin polyester instead. So, although it is supporting international prices, this high level, it is also cramping and crippling their domestic textile industry. So let's take a look at the bad news, the world cotton balance sheet. This is according to the USDA numbers that are up here. And we can see the ending stocks in 2 years have gone from 48.9 million bales to 79.6, and that number is about to go into the 80s. 80 million bales in the world. That's a heck of a lot of cotton. Almost twice of what we had just 3 years ago. Normally, that would put prices into the 50s. But today we're still in the mid-70s. And the reason, again, is because that cotton is being hoarded, being held in reserve off the market by China. So often you'll hear the reference to this number, 80 million bale carryover. It's the most bearish thing you could possibly think of. And it is. But it's not the whole story. Unfortunately, we're stuck between two very, very powerful opposing forces that are existing today in the cotton world. And we have a dilemma on our hands. The dilemma is such that China's decided to support prices at an extremely high level. And the problem is we need lower prices. We need lower prices for two reasons. One, lower prices would encourage textile mills to use cotton again instead of polyester because it would be price competitive as an alternative fiber to be used. And two, this would allow provide an incentive to switch more acreage out of cotton to plant other products and therefore lower our supply and try to bring us back into balance. Now, as a producer, or as a ginner, they may not sound like a good thing, but it is. We need to get our supply-demand back in balance so we can have some long-term success and growth further down the line. But today, these false high prices are encouraging overproduction. But on the other side, when prices try to do that and they go down, and you're a textile mill and you're in China, which is the largest textile operations in the world, and your price is 70 cents in the world and they have to pay $1.25, what happens to their demand or their desire to buy your cotton when it hits 70 cents? It is so cheap that they can't afford not to buy it if they have import licenses, or their government steps in to buy it because they don't want the rest of the world to buy it at 70 cents when they're trying to support their price at $1.25. So when prices go low, China steps in to buy. When China steps in to buy, it supports world prices and pushes them back up. So as long as China continues to support the world market and soak up the extra supplies, we're going to be prone to have overproduction and unable to find an equilibrium in the world. So here's our problem. We've got that 20-ton elephant in the room, and it's the Chinese reserve. Today, the entire world surrounds their policy and their actions. Now, it's going to be going through a lot of numbers. Some are going to be a little bit big, so it's going to be a little hard to try to fully grasp the size of the situation of what's taking place here. Last year, the reserve set its price at $1.20 in China. They bought 14.7 million bales of their domestic crop. That's more than we're probably going to grow next year as the entire nation. The next year, they raised the price to $1.25. Why? Because that's what China does. Every year, they raise their support price on all their commodities. This year, they're going to buy 27.1 million bales of their domestic crop and put it into their reserve. Last September, of course, if they hold all this cotton, eventually their textile mills were running out of cotton. They had to sell. They sold a little bit to get them through to the next harvest, so they sold 2.3. When you add in the imports that they have bought, the reserve alone will own 46 million bales before they start to sell. Now, they own so many bales inside their country that they actually have starved their textile mills and their total supply, so they have to start to sell. 46 million bales. And they'll probably begin to sell that next week or sometime here very shortly. The reserve will actually have to start to sell some of its supplies back to its own textile industry. Now, not only that, though, but if you take the price of which they paid for that cotton, market distorting, they have a mark-to-market loss already on that cotton if they were to move to world prices today at over $10 billion. Not too many other countries would be able to put those kind of resources behind support for their own industry. This slide I could spend a lot of time talking about, but it's critically important for you to understand the ideas of what's going to be the dynamics to driving the marketplace over the next year or two. There's so much on this I could spend an hour all by itself, but this is China's balance sheet. Supply, demand, bunch of numbers up there, but let me just focus on a few things. Let's look back in 2010 and 11. In 2010 and 11, China used 46 million bales, down from over 50, but 46 million bales and produced 30.5. They had a 15.5 million bale deficit. That means longer term, over a period of time, that roughly equals what they need to import into that country. The scariest thing here to all of you is that by the time we get to 2012-13, that deficit today is only 4 million bales. Last year, it was only 5 million bales. But look what they imported. 24.5 million bales. They only needed 5. They imported 24.5 million bales. So what do you think that meant to world prices? It means obviously they're artificially a lot higher than they would have been otherwise had China only bought 5. And where do the rest of the bales go? They're sitting in warehouses. It's not gone. It's part of that 80 million bales that's sitting there in this world carryover that we hear about. But by the same token, it's not available. I used the line once when I was talking in Hong Kong. It said it's like cotton everywhere, but not a bale to spin. If you go look around in China, they can't get it. They can't get at it. They can't buy it. And they surely can't survive by paying $1.25 and try to compete into the world today. So on this chart, we have two very bearish things and two very bullish things. The two very bearish things is China's only got a 4 million bale deficit to where it is. The next bearish thing is they got 37.6 million ending stocks. But you say, but wait a second, I thought you said reserve had 40-something million. How can they only have 37 at the end? It's because this free stocks number is -8. And what does that mean, free stocks? It means that if China were to go through this exact scenario to where it is, they would end up being short 8.3 million bales more that they need in order to consume it, which means the reserve has to sell part of that 46 million bales. They cannot get around it. And that's on top of taking in 11.5 million bales that the government says that China's going to import, which is too small. So we know the reserve has to sell. We know that the reserve has tightened up the stocks into the world, that it feels much more tighter than the amount of bales that are available. Therefore, today, prices are in the mid-70s. We have a problem. Total supply says prices should be down in the 50s to 60s. But when we take the reserve bales and pull them out of the equation, if we take 40-some million bales out of that 80 million and come out with only 40 million left into the free world, that says about 95 cents. So how do prices adjust in a situation where you have one thing that says it should be 95 on the free stocks, you have another one says it should be 60. Well, the marketplace struggles with this every single day. And the United States is not immune to it. We saw last year where we had prices dip very strongly. Then last year into the May, June, July period, we had a giant spike in prices. Then they fell back down. And part of the reason is the marketplace has to continually try to define is whether it's pricing its free stocks, those that are available in the open marketplace, or is it pricing total stocks in the world of how many bales are there total for many years to come. And as we have done now, it's settled right into the middle. And it's become complacent to just wait. If we dip down below 70, China steps in to buy it. If we move up towards 80, China doesn't buy anything, world slows down, people get discouraged, they can't move the bales, they look at 80 million bales, prices go back down. So we're stuck between these two giant forces, one with the huge supply and one with total free stocks that are small. This is a scary thought. Is China becoming self-sufficient in cotton? We just looked at it. They only have a 4 million bale deficit this year. 4 million bales, that is it. The reserve's got 46 million. Sure, they're going to sell 8, 9, 10 million of that. But even with that, if they're at 4 million bale deficit, that means they're going to have a 10-year supply of deficit just sitting in reserve. And if they didn't want to, they wouldn't have to import a bale for 10 years. Imagine what would happen to the world cotton market if that took place. Now, it's not going to because they're going to want to hold their reserve, but that's kind of a scary thought. So how do we get out of this problem? How do we get out of this dilemma? The only way I really see out of it is through consumption. Unfortunately, we got another headwind in consumption. It's called polyester, man-made fiber. China, again, is the culprit. Years ago, China decided it needed the ability to have more food for its people. It didn't want to put necessarily an increased acreage for cotton. And one of the ways to take care of their textile industry was to go ahead and increase polyester capacity. It went from just over 1 million in 1995 to next year, the capacity is going to be 14 million tons. That's 60 million bales equivalent of cotton a year, every year, that they could put out. And it doesn't need rainfall, doesn't need sunshine, doesn't have to worry about weeds. 60 million bales they can produce. And thus, not only is it available to them, it's available cheap. So you can see the polyester prices today are almost half the price of cotton. So what do you think has happened to cotton consumption? It's gone from 57% of the blend to 40% of the blend. And if you remember, we saw the drop down in Chinese consumption of cotton. This is the main culprit. Total consumption for the textile industries is not down that much in China. It's just cotton. And the main reason for it to be cotton is price competitiveness. Now, many of their end users and stuff that are there may not be as refined as the EU market or the United States market, where demand for the cotton product, for a superior product that's out there. Some of them are more price conscious. They've also made some technology advances in the polyester to make it a more formidable substitution possibility against cotton. Here we can see what's happened in polyester. And you can see it is a China phenomenon. The growth in polyester around the world is taking place, and it's all of the growth has been inside of China. That's it. Cotton share dropping. If we were to get our cotton share back and increase that consumption back up 20%, we would get the world consumption back up to levels that these surpluses would already be gone. Just these last 2 years, we would have already solved that problem. So the world has finally woken up to this. We've just begun to turn the corner to try to solve this problem. We know that as long as China continues to have this, they're going to slow down the cotton usage that is there. But China is the major exporter of textile and apparel products around the globe. And we need them to be. But there's two new trends that have started to materialize. China's imports are controlled by import licenses. So they would want to buy your cotton. They want to buy the rest of the world's cotton at 75 cents instead of using their own at $1.20. But they can't. They're denied it because they're only allowed to import if they have an import license, and those are strictly controlled by the government. Now, the government understands this too, and it can't totally allow their textile industry to become uncompetitive, so they do put out some import licenses. And in some cases, more than you would have thought otherwise, considering the size of their stocks, to try to keep them competitive. But it's not quite enough from their competitive side or from the world side. So China has all of a sudden now started to import cotton yarn and fabrics. If they can't bring the raw product in, they're going to bring it in a value-added form, which is not controlled by import quotas. The end result of this is yarn prices, not yarn prices, but yarn volumes of imports into China have continually increased, as you see here. But where does that come from? Has to come from somebody else spinning the cotton that they would have otherwise done. And it's coming from the Indian subcontinent. So India, Bangladesh, Pakistan have all now picked up the pace of its cotton consumption. One of the interesting things that I think that you see here when you read this was that as we moved from 2000, from the year 2000 to 2010, world consumption grew by 28 million bales, which is what we need to do now, increase world consumption. But during that time frame, 29 million bales was the increase in China. That means the rest of the world increased what? -1. And you remember through that time period, they destroyed the United States textile industry. Mexico got crippled. Japan was gone, wiped out. Europe was gone. As China continued to gain market share and essentially destroy many of the other developed textile industries in the world. But now what happens when the big guy gets sick, which is where we're at? Because China is the textile engine of the world. But as far as cotton consumption goes, it's not quite working. As they continue to fall, and as you see, they've fallen by 14.5. It took them 10 years to wipe out and dominate the industry. It's taken them 2 years to lose almost all that they gained. And their loss is now becoming the Indian subcontinent's gains. They're continuing to grow. As you see here, they finally have actually even surpassed China in its total textile consumption. And that those intersection of the lines that you see there are going to continue to move that way if China doesn't provide its stuff, its rest of its textile industry with cheaper cotton. So this consumption problem that we have, if we look at the rest of the world, I don't know if it's big enough for you to see out there, every nation in the world, major textile user, is increasing its consumption of cotton, except China. They've all rebounded out of the recession, and that's a very good sign, because it's telling you that if provided with competitive priced cotton, it still has a preference, it still has a dominance, and it still has growth opportunities. It's finally taking place. It's taking hold in the rest of the world. We just need to get China back on it. So we started the recovery. It's going to be slow. Over the last 20 years, we've had about a 2 to 2.5% annual growth rate in cotton usage, somewhat paralleling the population growth rate that takes place around the globe. We know that the EU has shrunk as it goes through its recession. The United States numbers are a little deceiving. If you look at retail sales for apparel, they're actually up. But our actual textile cotton consumption is down, the difference being price. So we've had manufacturers and apparel companies raise price of textile and apparel goods. Retail sales have gone up, but the number of piece goods actually being sold are actually going down, and thus we've had a 10% drop in consumption. But the world needs Chinese demand. We need Chinese demand. We have to get it back. It has the premier position, and the world is set up for China to be the premier textile manufacturer and user of cotton in the world. Today, the world has 14.4 million bales surplus outside of China. So that means if we take China and remove it as a country, the rest of the globe grows 14.4 million bales than it uses. Why do they grow a surplus? Because they grow it for China. Our cotton industry in the United States needs China. The world needs China. 14.4 million bales, it has to go somewhere. It is a disaster if we cannot get Chinese consumption of cotton back up. Last year, if you look back, the United States exported 11.7 million bales. 6.4 of it went to China. That means we sold 5.3 million bales around the rest of the world. This year, you're having 17.3 million bale production. If we only export 5.3 million bales to the rest of the world, that leaves you 12 million bales to be used by U.S. textile industry, roughly 3.5. The rest is China. They're your largest customer, and you are completely dependent upon them. If we can't increase that consumption inside China and get away from them becoming self-sufficient in cotton, you have no place to market your cotton. Last year, we didn't have it. We'd already be at a 10 million bale carryout. And that was last year, not counting this year. So, polyester isn't our only problem. High prices, polyester. Now we got the problem with the proteins. We all know what happened. We heard about the drought. Corn, bean prices setting record highs. Going to be pulling acreage away from the United States, as well as what's taking place in Brazil and other countries. As we lose this acreage, we'll somewhat try to bring us back into balance as we have lower productions around the world. But that won't always last either. So where does that leave us today? I'm going to have to go back. It all depends on China. China's the most important thing, and it'd be great to stand up here and tell you what I think about prices, and I have an opinion on them going up or down, only because I have to. But really, at the end of the day, it all depends on China. One decision out of them changes the entire world's focus and price by easily 20 to 30 cents, depending on what they decide. Today, we're faced with cotton prices in the mid-70s. Two things for higher prices. If they issue more import licenses to try to create more competitiveness by their textile industry, the reserve buys more import cotton, prices are going up. The U.S. balance sheet in and of itself, how much cotton we have left in the United States, it's not all that great, which is why we're able to stay in the mid-70s. Because we find ourselves with carryovers from 3.5 to 5 million bales, that's pretty normal. It's not too overburdensome to where things are. But somebody better be there to buy them, otherwise things change quickly. And if they do step up and buy an extra 2 to 4 million bales, the United States will be a beneficiary of that, and prices will move up quickly. However, if China doesn't do that, we talked about that 14.5 million bale world surplus that's out there, and how dependent the United States is on China imports. So if China decides to pull back from the marketplace and no longer import substantial quantities, what's the world going to do with its surpluses? Not much. we've got what I call the cotton China's anchor. It's important. The lower prices would provide incentives for growers to reduce acres. That would try to bring us back into equilibrium. It would also encourage mills to switch back from polyester into cotton. Another good factor would help eat into that. And it would allow manufacturers to lower their prices of goods. So as the consumer still spends the same amount of money, they'd buy more piece goods for the same dollar that they'd be spending, increasing consumption again. The longer China holds on to this policy, and the longer they hold on to continuing to increase their stocks, the worse and the more dire the situation is going to become. So we have that major task in front of us. We have to revive cotton consumption. It used to be 123, 124 million bales. Today it's 106. We need to bring it back to where it was before. It's always darkest before the dawn. But now we've at least defined what it is that we need to do and what the challenge is that's in front of us. We have to regain that cotton blend. We have to provide those textile mills with competitively priced cotton so as they'll move that blend back from polyester back into cotton. Once that happens, consumption will start to grow again, and then we'll be able to match that growth with increasing production. So in conclusion, the front end of the market has to remain cheap enough to promote cotton consumption. And when I say, notice there I use the word market, not futures. But the front end of the cash prices of cotton have got to remain competitively priced at levels that textile mills want to use cotton in the place of polyester. The back end of the market, though, still has to be prepared to protect acreage. We don't want a complete collapse of cotton acreage because we know it's hard to get it back. We saw what happened in 2008, 2009 when cotton prices collapsed and acreage collapsed, how hard it was to re-gear that production up, and we had to take prices to a substantially higher levels before we got that big push up in acreage again around the world taking place. We don't want to cause that kind of wild dynamics again that's there. So the back end of the market wants to protect acreage, and it needs to. Because if China continues to hold its reserves, we already saw the world stocks are really tight. So if China continues to take that cotton off the marketplace, the world still need cotton for the rest of the world to be able to spin and grow. China's going to want to maintain that reserve. I don't think we're in any imminent danger that they're going to turn around and just dump it all onto the marketplace. They understand they've spent a lot of money for that cotton, and they don't want to do that to themselves either. So they're going to hold a lot of this cotton for quite a while. But it will be a wet blanket that's going to hang over the marketplace for quite some time. So, pricing. When the marketplace switches to the focus of tight free stocks, it gets nervous, the market moves up. That's when you should be pricing your cotton, both old crop as well as new crop. And you'll have some scares. You'll have people who will focus on the amount of free stocks that are available, not total stocks, the smaller production in the United States for next year, and that's going to provide you opportunities from some small price spikes that will take place that will allow you to get some of that done. Now, it's not going to be a full-out bull market in those type of situations with just too much cotton in the world, but use those type of opportunities and psychological shifts in order to receive a couple extra cents in your pricing. Keep your options open for 14 and 15. A lot can change in the world really quickly, not just from corn and bean prices, but also because of the Chinese policy situation of what might change. And with that, I think as we turn the corner in 2014-15, we'll probably hit the point where we'll try to reach some stabilization and equilibrium. We'll be able to start to grow cotton consumption again. So with that, thank you very much.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate it.